Hey, welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Still to come on the program today, former Congressman Parker Griffin joins us at the top of the hour. We also got my old colleague from my Huntsville days, WVNN's Dale Jackson, dressed up as a kangaroo for Halloween. Make of that what you will. At 11 o'clock hour, you'll stay tuned for former United States Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Give his thoughts on the presidential election. He was there in 2016. I wonder if he's seeing any similarities right now. And then, as we try to do every Monday, but haven't been quite on the game here lately, State Representative Matt Simpson will be with us in studio. So please stick around if you can as we head into Election Day. This is your one-stop shop for all of it. Speaking of that, joining us now in studio, always a pleasure to introduce my longtime friend. She hates it when I say this. We go way, way, way back in the day. Alabama Republican Party Chairwoman Terry Latham, how are you doing this morning?
Man, I am ready to roll. Let's go. So, wish today was tomorrow.
What are you hearing out there? Any ground waves you're hearing or sensing?
A lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm has been building in the state of Alabama, especially for that U.S. Senate seat. I see Doug Jones is still wasting his millions of dollars, which is going to be fine. He'll be a very good example. I do believe in political science classes across college and how to take $11, $12, $13, $15 million and absolutely blow it because you simply don't listen to the majority of the people of the state. So a lot of excitement to elect Tommy Tuberville. And, of course, the national news media is focusing on the big one, the enchilada, the whole thing, the president's in the White House. So I had a call with the Republican National Committee chairwoman yesterday and the members of the RNC and political director Chris Carr, the president's political director. And so we feel like we're in good shape. While early absentee voting was favoring the Democrats in some of the big states, what they're not ciphering in is the early in-person Trump vote and the red wave that's coming tomorrow in these states, because our people really, really, it's so binary that we want to go vote in person, and we believe that's coming.
I mean, Democrats are coming out, but they're coming out in places that Democrats are going to win anyway.
Exactly.
Good job. You're going to win Brooklyn again. You know, you're going to win Santa Monica. Way to go, guys. More than ever before. But that's not where
Chicago.
It matters. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
that's not where it matters. It matters in these swing states, and that's where we're seeing the gap closing in a hurry.
I think so. And you know what we're watching, too, that I just find fascinating, and there's reasons this is happening, is the minority vote for President Trump is going to be probably the highest of any Republican presidential candidate in the history of our nation. That says a lot. That's a reason for that. And the Latino community seems to be coming out heavily for the president as well. So those numbers matter. The national media doesn't talk about that, but that's the reality of what's happening on the ground. We have the biggest historic ground game, presidential ground game in the history of our nation, Republican or Democrat. We have since Friday, they've knocked on 3 million doors. They're looking at 15 million phone calls. It's just the battleground states. I mean, so the ground game matters. It really does.
Well, tell me this. So you were around for 2016. What does the ground game look like now compared to back then?
Back then?
2016.
Oh, gosh. So a lot. I mean, it was good back then. Don't get me wrong. But once you've got the incumbency, you know, it's easier to raise money where you can hire field staff and you can do a lot more. Right now we have 3,000 paid field staffers in the battleground states. Some of them have been there over a year. And, I mean, that really, really does matter. You can watch a TV ad for 30 seconds, and I think most people at this time when they're watching may know what they're going to do. But people really do pay attention to this, and those knocking on doors, putting signs in people's yards, getting those phone calls really have mattered. And our ground game is second to none. There is no Biden, there is no Democrat ground game.
And there doesn't seem to be.
It's because there's not.
It's all, well, it's all like this keyboard commando thing going on social media. And then you want to, you know, just don't get me wrong, you know, there's some value in that. But you really want to see door knocking and everything like that and some substance. It appears to me to be all the energy for the Biden side in places that Biden was going to win anyway.
Right. You know, I would question the word energy, not on him. But I don't mean him. I just mean his campaign. It's just not there. I mean, last night outside of Miami, The president had a rally at midnight, and it was a sea of people. I mean, who does that? My husband and I were talking about this morning, the Republican Party, regardless of what happens tomorrow, although we do believe we're going to win, has really seen a change since President Trump has been at the top of the ticket. It's a, we're not going to put up with stuff anymore, and we're going to fight bureaucracy. And he also has a great saying. He's like, Republicans very often go into a bar fight with a rule book. We want to read the rules. Democrats pick up a bar stool and hit you in the head while you're reading the rule book. And so we got a little bit more pick up the stool and defend ourselves and whop folks back. Not literally. So I thought that was a pretty good analogy, quite. So we're there, and we're fighting, and he's fighting. And I think the American people love this spirit that he has. And
only five rallies in one day.
How is that possible? I mean, I'm exhausted watching him.
I was watching the Miami one at like 1 a.m. last night, you know, and still a big crowd too, right?
No, massive. No, seriously, at midnight, I'm like, no, I'm asleep.
But isn't that something we could say, whether you want to acknowledge this, that whatever you think about Trump, one thing you got to acknowledge is, he's done pretty well, relatively speaking, with Republicans, as far as Republican presidential candidate goes, with getting African-American voters and Hispanic voters. And I was just kind of noticing that at Miami. I mean, Miami,
it's true.
Miami, fair enough, the Hispanic community down there is kind of, you know, they remember, they're old enough to generation or two removed.
Absolutely.
From the Cold War and what socialism is.
Absolutely.
But those are places I think voters that went for Obama in 08 and 2012, they really found their way to get excited about Donald Trump.
They are. And we see it. Again, the national news media has put a lid, to use the Biden words, put a lid on it. And I will tell you, regardless of who wins tomorrow, again, side note, I think we're going to win, there has to be a conversation across this nation on a national level with the national news media picking what we see, what we don't see, what we hear. This thing about blocking people on Facebook and Twitter, where are the First Amendment journalists, quote, journalists? Where are they screaming and yelling? But as long as it's someone they don't like or agree with being blocked, they're quiet. And this is wrong. And I feel strongly, I think the American people are seeing this. But regardless of tomorrow, we have got to have this conversation. Because you know who else does that? China and Iran and Russia and North Korea. They block things they don't want people to hear to set the deck. And that is what is happening. Someone prove me wrong.
Well, I think you're going to see at least some kind of, you know, the special carve outs these tech companies have, where they're not like, if I took a phone call and somebody said something about Terry Lathan that was untrue and damaging, you could sue the station. Whereas if somebody goes on Twitter and posts a tweet, they have a protection from that. So you may see something like that happen where they strip those rules. But I got to think, though, after this cycle, how many people are really going to be as wedded to social media when it comes to politics as they were maybe, you know, a year ago?
Well, it's just the cycle right now. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's Christmas tomorrow if you're Santa Claus, you know. Maybe you and the elves in 6 months or so are kind of down and not worrying about it so much. But you'll get back up and in the groove when you need to. So, look, it's just going to come and go with the cycle. I really think we can make a case, though, actually, Jeff, that right now, this election tomorrow is very pivotal for our nation. It is so binary. It is so A to Z, sitting on the ends of policy. And I worry that personalities and other squirrel moments get in people's way. But I think the American people, when they go in and go, how is my life affected, you know, before COVID, because the numbers and the history-making, record-breaking subjects and economic policies the president had is sitting there, and they hadn't moved. In fact, now look how fast we're coming back. So, you know, it's amazing to watch people who motivate people to vote and why they go and vote. I just had a conversation with a young man on the phone a minute ago, and I said, I just hope people aren't going to vote personality. Personality is really not on the ballot. If you can get past the messenger, policies on the ballot, and that's what I hope Americans will remember tomorrow.
Joined by Alabama Republican Party Chairwoman Terry Lathan here on the program. Tell me this. Are you worried about, you know, there's places in Alabama where this is an issue, but some of the absentee ballot stuff, the county chairman, Paul DeMarco in Jefferson County, guests on this program, worried about the way absentee ballots are being counted and maybe that something untoward could happen, or does the way the ballots are being counted, particularly with all these absentee ballots out there and not really, I would say, any practice at doing absentee balloting on this level, does that concern you?
Well, the interesting thing about this early absentee ballot voting that Alabama has, that first of all, I believe the people in the long lines we see were people who were going to go vote anyway. It's just we visually see them in a long line. You know, we just go to our precincts, vote, and leave. We don't see the masses out there. So I do believe that was the same kind of folks. You were mentioned a minute ago, yeah, Brooklyn, we know what you're going to do. And right. San Diego, yeah, we know what you're going to do. I think it's the same folks, really. And obviously, everyone, we need everyone to go vote and voice their opinion. I think overall they've done a pretty good job of trying to handle this. Look, the Secretary of State, the circuit clerks, the absentee ballot, nobody saw the COVID thing coming, which pushed so many people to vote prior. Now, my question is, 2 years from now, when we have another primary runoff and general election, will those numbers be gone? The early, I mean, if COVID is and again, 2 years from now, and one must should assume that it will be off our plate, more or less. What will we have this veracity to go do it then? I don't think so. It seems like it'll kind of be back to normal. But it is unusual times, that's for sure. And even here in the election day, we're trying to learn how to deal with the COVID situation.
But with the way it's going on in Alabama, should the rules be changed? You watch these elections, and who knows what's going on behind closed doors where they count these ballots. Typically, with the regular general election vote, you are there and you can keep an eye on things. But this is a brave new world we're in.
So when you say count ballots, you're talking about absentee ballots. So actually, the process is, so everyone will know, a lot of counties, because they are having so many in early due to the COVID situation, some they're going to start opening them at 7 a.m. tomorrow. They will decide which ones count, which ones don't. We will have poll watchers in many of those areas. And so the law allows a poll watcher to be there from each individual party.
Right.
So they're not really just doing it in secret behind closed doors. So they will run them through machine, just like you run your ballot through. You know, I'm going to vote in person. And it holds. So we don't see numbers until after they hit at 7 p.m. tomorrow night on absentee ballots. So, you know, it's not over till it's over in the process, and I think we'll know in our state our numbers pretty well, pretty quickly. I do. And by the way, everybody can watch live alabamavotes.gov. I think the Secretary of State's office will have those numbers up as they come in, computer generated.
So yeah, and they ought to come in. The thing you can say about Secretary Merrill, I mean, I feel like they come in pretty fast. At least the systems they're in place now with the electronic poll book and all of that, that we're moving at a faster rate of speed than maybe ever before.
Well, the electronic poll book is the check-in. That's a little different. The computers and the vote machines are, they take a cartridge out, I believe, and upload them. If it last I heard, I don't know if that's changed or not. It may have. And so, yeah, it's electronic.
But with the lines, I guess the electronic poll book really takes on
so much faster.
Makes it more efficient.
Yeah. And if, again, I may be mistaken, but my understanding is that we have them now across the state, and that a lot of that was paid with the SARS money, the COVID money
that
came in.
Money.
The CARES, yeah. And so that's actually benefited us in election. Again, we don't use it but really every 2 years, but it will help people. I encourage everyone to go. Stay in line. This is your shot. I mean, you know, I've stood in lines for a long time to get into a football game. Or back in the old days, Jeff, you say way, way back, we used to show up to buy concert tickets in person down at the auditorium. You know, not that, boy, that's way back. And I was standing along lines to do stuff like that. And so I hope people will get excited about standing in the line. I think of the founding fathers tomorrow. I always think about them, but particularly tomorrow, you know, they walked, they rode horses and mules, they were in wagons, and they crafted the greatest country the world's ever seen. And so they're willing to do that and to gift us with this. I think it is so incumbent for all Americans, all Alabamians, to go and be heard tomorrow.
Let's get a break in here. When we get back, we'll get you to give us maybe some predictions.
Okay.
On the other side. This is the Jeff Porsche Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Every morning at 8, make it to work. They're always late.